Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Well, hello there. Welcome to another exciting episode of Real Nerds Podcast, where every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, we saw the gothic horror film Nosferatu. Stay tuned, where we will say if we recommend the film or not. That was really hard for me to say.
You should have said that whole intro like Nosferatu.
Oh.
Welcome to the Real Nerds Podcast.
Wheels of Real Nerds Podcast, design on the dotted line.
Anyway.
Yeah, so we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then we'll spoil it. We'll also talk about the big movie news of the week, if there is any. I don't think so. Everyone's on, like, Christmas break right now. And,
yeah, if you don't, you know, we're industry insiders, so we can let you know that when Christmas break happens, all production stops.
Yes.
So there's nothing going on in Hollywood at all.
Not a damn thing. But we will talk about the films we watched this week. Brad, are you ready for Christmas?
I guess. I don't know. I'm not feeling it this year. It's just like, I do not have the Christmas spirit in me.
No. Good old Ebenezer Scrooge.
Not that I'm like trying to make things bad for other people, but it's just like, in the state of the world, I just feel like,
fuck it.
Like, yeah. Like, clearly, niceness and generosity are not on a lot of people's plate anymore. And it's really about, like, what can I get people and how much money can I spend to, like, increase business?
Yeah, well, I'm really excited because I'm not recording this on January 20th, but if I were, I'm expecting gas prices to go down and everything to go down instantly. So we're good, bro. We're good. we here in America value cheaper gas than we do people with morals. So I'm really excited for the next 4 years.
People shouldn't have rights so I can have cheap eggs. That's what,
dude, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, why do I have to bring in my own bags to King Supers now? I tell you why. All the libtards think that plastic bags are bad.
Yeah, I see them stuck in trees, but that doesn't mean that I should have to, you know, remember to carry my own into the store. It's just insane.
Yeah, dude. The fuck?
Just because some turtle has a straw in its snout that I have to do stuff?
It's
a free country. There should be no barriers to anything I do.
Exactly.
No responsibility for anything. That's
no.
That's what the Constitution says.
Brad,
it's like the 35th Amendment.
Is cheat on your wife, disparage minorities and other groups, and you too one day can be president of the United States.
Dude, don't you get it? He doesn't mean those things. He's just joking. He's just a fun guy.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Now I see the light.
See? You finally got that woke mind virus out of your system.
I mean, I don't believe in vaccines, but I'm glad you were able to get the woke mind virus out of me. So, speaking of being under the spell of a man who is a piece of shit, Brad.
I'm going to suck you dry.
Yeah, and suck you dry. Do you recommend Nosferatu?
Yeah, it's fine. It's weird for me to say that, like, for someone who wasn't like crazy over Robert Eggers's other movies, like, they're good and interesting. And I feel like this movie is like too safe. Like, I expected more weirdness out of it, and it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, that's the Dracula story. That okay, you did it.
I mean, he did show Dracula's cock, so
that I haven't seen before. That was definitely pushing the boundaries, and so there's that. Yeah.
When I was watching the film, all I could think of is there's this line in Big Daddy that Adam Sandler says. He says, "Ah, oh, gross! It's going to be all over these old hairy balls." That's what I was thinking of during Nosferatu. I like the movie. You know, I think I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know if I wanted it to be more weird. I wanted it to be maybe more violent or have a more sinister tone to it. To me, it just had like this creepy tone to it. And it's well made. It's a cool movie. Here's the trailer for Nosferatu.
Come to me. I've never shared my secret with any soul.
You've had these spells since childhood. Tell me what you can from the beginning.
It is like a dream. It was our wedding. When we turned around, everyone was dead. The stench of their bodies was horrible. Standing before me was death. But I had never been so happy.
This creature is a force more powerful than evil. Its desire is to consume all life on Earth. Only you can redeem us. He is coming.
There is a devil in this world, and I have met him.
But you could never please me as he could. I'm ready.
Hey, Brad.
What's up?
Have you seen a Dracula movie?
Pretty sure I've seen a few.
Yeah, so you've seen Nosferatu.
Yeah. I mean, I literally saw the old Nosferatu with a Radiohead score like a month ago.
Cool. That one has it. Actually, I mean, off topic, but I think the 1922 version is better than this one. I felt... so in this one... If you've seen Dracula, you've seen Nosferatu. A count is buying a plot of land in Germany this time, though, so I guess that's different. And they have to send a rapscallion, upstart guy
named Thinking Thomas guy.
Yeah, to have him sign the documents. And he's told that the count is very eclectic, and so he has to have it signed in person.
Eccentric,
there we go.
Yeah.
And so he goes there, and
should
on the way...
emailed him, but whatever.
I know, what the hell. He goes into a town where the gypsies tell him not to do it. He goes anyways,
Actually, why does he have to go? Because, like, can't Nosferatu turn into a bat and just fly faster to the city? So stupid.
Well, he can't get caught in the sunlight, Brad. He, like, melts.
He could fly at night.
I mean, you got to make sure you get there by night. Well, no, because he also has to travel with his soil from his ground. Simple rules of Dracula you're forgetting.
That's true. Like, okay, you're right. Freaking soil. Soil yeah. Got me.
Gotcha. So, yeah, so he goes there. He falls under Dracula's spell. He gets fed on by Dracula. I mean, Nosferatu.
Yeah.
And
they get sucked through the chest and not the neck, which I thought was interesting. Indifferent.
Yeah. And I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, it follows the familiar beats, but there's some pretty cool, like, monster moments. I mean, I think the set designs were incredible in this film. The costumes were great. Bill Skarsgård as Count Orlok, I thought, was the appropriate amount of creepiness. I mean, I like the movie. It's just, you know, I did love, too. The one thing I did like, and this sounds horrible, is when they showed him actually killing the kids. I thought that was a really well-crafted scene, and it was framed really well, and it was creepy. And I like the idea of him preying on people to get to Ellen, Lily Rose Depp's character. Is fascinating. I mean, I did like the movie. It's just, you know, I guess I wanted to push boundaries a little more.
Yeah. Like, really make it your own.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, the big thing is, like, some of the historical and, like, cultural things are more accurate to the original. But I'm just like, okay, as a layman watching, I'm like, I don't track that stuff, so it's kind of a lost effort on me.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, I think everybody's on their A game. I don't think there's a thing in this movie I can point to where I go, you know, this sucks. It just seems familiar.
Actually, there was a point where I was, some of the scenes where they're just talking, I don't know, felt like they were just reciting the lines to me, like, especially like some of Aaron Taylor Johnson's moments. Yeah. I didn't really feel the emotion of anybody in the scene. And it kind of felt like, Willem Dafoe, I don't know, like, he was in a comedy. Like, a lot of his bits are just kind of silly.
Yeah, you know, that's funny to say that, because I felt that too. There's one part, specifically when he's in, I think when he meets Lily Rose Depp's character, and everybody else is dead serious, and he's not.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost in a screwball comedy, you know?
Yeah.
And I kept on thinking that the score should be, I don't know, just, yeah, you're right. And, you know, and to Lily Rose Depp, I mean, I was whatever with her. I don't think she was that groundbreaking in it either. She just seemed, like, sad and scared the whole time.
Yeah, like, the big thing is, like, this made her make all these, like, really tortured faces, and, yeah, she did what she needed to do. Yeah, like, you know, there was, like, no really standout performance. Everyone just kind of, like, did the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still fun. I mean, I think people could see it. I mean, I liked it, but it's not something I need to rush out and see again.
Yeah, it's not like bold and daring, you know. Like I said, especially when something that's like been remade several times, it just feels like you really got to go. Like, I would have wanted to see the Willem Dafoe comedy version.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I guess I'd be like Dracula Dead and loving it, right? But
which follows the book pretty closely.
Yeah.
Sweet. Hey, did Corinne send us any something this week?
I know this one for Sonic and Wolfman.
Well, yeah, so the Wolfman is in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely one for Sonic 3, which we just did.
Oh, yeah, so we did miss here, because she sent me that she sent it to us, and we didn't do it.
Okay, so let's have her talk about here.
Hey nerds, Corinne here for another installment of Showtime, where I tell you all about something cool I've been watching lately. Even though I'm a little out of it this week because I've been recovering from travel and a bunch of other stuff, I did want to check in with you guys because I saw Conclave recently, and I have a lot of thoughts about it. Some good, some bad. I generally think it was a really well-made movie. I would be willing to see it again, especially now that I know how it all ends. It was pretty much what was advertised. You know, it was this kind of political thriller intrigue sort of thing. And there are definitely like a lot of twists and turns to it and a lot of fantastic acting, the set design and the costumes and the just, I mean, the production value was insane. There are a lot of shots where it was like, you know, they clearly just went for the aesthetics because it's like, oh, we got to have this like slow-mo, you know, dramatic shot of everybody walking in the rain with their matching umbrellas and their matching uniforms and stuff. And I'm like, it's a little much. Like, I could have done with about 10 or 20% less of that. But still, I mean, it was well made. And, you know, the energy was up. And the you know, the emotions were up throughout the whole, like, I was engaged. I was engaged the whole movie, so. And I honestly didn't really know how it was going to turn out, which was also a good thing, I think. You know, I definitely had some ideas of, like, I think it could go this way or that way, but I won't say whether it did, but I'll say that it definitely kept me on my toes. I can see why they're saying this is a, you know, a front runner for the awards season, especially Ralph Fiennes. He does a fantastic job in the movie. I'm totally down if he gets nominated for Golden Globe or Academy Award or whatever, because, I mean, he's fantastic in the movie. And the supporting actors, Stanley Tucci was fantastic. I thought John Lithgow's character was a little, like, I guess she's too obvious of a villain or something. And there was another, I don't know if he was an Italian actor. I'm assuming he was an Italian actor because he's playing an Italian cardinal named Tedesco. And I actually thought his character was fascinating from just like the, because he presented so much of the opposition to the main protagonists and at least like on an ideological level. And I thought that just the way, I mean, I would really have to get into the weeds, but I thought that the way that they handled his character and specifically his use of language, because so much of the film, he refuses to speak anything but Italian or Latin. And then there are a couple times where he does drop into English, but it feels very intentional. It's like he wants you to know, like, this is a bastard language. And I'm only using it to prove a point. And I thought that that was interesting. Yeah, I can't really talk about it too much more without getting into spoilers. And I don't want to do that because I think it's a worthy movie to see. But as far as, like, you know, if you're a person of faith, would you like this movie? I don't know. I think your mileage will vary. I had some interesting conversations with people coming out of the screening. Jerry actually went and saw it with me, and we both had a lot of thoughts, mostly positive, some negative, and yeah, I think I will say, whether you're a person of faith or not, if you are not on board with the just general premise of this is a thriller set at the Vatican during the conclave or papal conclave, so there's going to be a lot of like hullabaloo about, you know, the Pope and the church and the, you know, the different procedures. And I mean, so much of the film is based on that. So if you're not interested in that at all, then you're probably going to have a bad time. You're going to be bored because it is a lot of like getting into the weeds and the procedures of the thing, which I think kind of helps the movie because so much of the character's mentality is this kind of like in the weeds sort of problem. And again, I can't talk about it too much more than that, but maybe at Filmsplosion or some other time soon, you know, the nerds and I will be able to fully discuss this movie, but I do have a lot of thoughts, and I think it elicits a lot of discussion, too, so, again, I mostly have positive things to say. I'm still not, like, the biggest fan of it, but I would go see it again, so that's my thoughts. Sorry if that's a bit of rambling, but that's what you get from me. But, any other things from me? Abbott Elementary and The American Ghosts are back. They're both, back for their fourth seasons. They're both doing pretty good so far. I think I'd have to say I'm enjoying Abbott Elementary more right now. I haven't been as big into Ghosts just because they introduced a new character and I wasn't a big fan of her, but it sounds like they're kind of writing her out. And I'm okay with that. So maybe we'll be kind of back on track now. But yeah. Yeah. Abbott Elementary, CBS Ghosts. Both great shows. Check them out if you haven't already. So, and go see Conclave if it is of interest to you. That's what I'll say. All right. Take care, nerds. And I will talk to you guys next time about something. Bye.
Sorry, Corinne. You're wrong. Brad and I are right.
As always.
I love when people aren't on the show to defend themselves. I can just call them, tell them they're wrong all the time.
Yeah, get your act together. Get on the show.
Yep. You know,
then we won't forget to put stuff in the episode because it'll already be in it. So
yeah, because you're asking a lot of Brad and I. We don't remember what we're doing tomorrow. So, you know.
Yeah.
We watch films throughout the week as well as the theatrical release in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
You watch a lot of Shudder stuff. Do you know about a movie called Bloody Axe Wound?
No.
Oh, great. I get to talk about this by myself.
So, I've heard of it. I did not see it, though.
Heard of it? Yeah, I don't get this movie. So it's one of those, like, you know, I've never seen a trailer for it, but it was at the Mills late at night. And I was like, cool, I'll give it a shot. And it's this movie where there's like a town and people get killed in it to make horror movies that get made and rented at the local video store.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a famous Jason-esque killer in the town called Blade Cut, played by Billy Burke.
I like Billy Burke.
Yeah. So yeah, there's this killer, Blade Cut. He's famous. The people that get killed in the town get turned into movies that get rented. And he has a daughter named Abby Blade Cut. And she's not some disfigured, grotesque, lumbering giant killer. She's just a person who works at the rental store and goes to high school. And her dad's like, you got to start following in my footsteps, girl. And she doesn't really want to, but she tries.
She doesn't want to murder people.
She doesn't. She tries to commit some murders, doesn't go well, and then she eventually against her father's wishes, she kind of like tries to save her friends, and he goes after all of them. And I don't understand it. It's definitely very low budget. It's produced by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Oddly enough, he's in the opening fake movie intro. It was kind of just all over the place. I didn't like Blade Cut's kind of a lame title for a killer anyway.
Yeah, super stupid.
But, just the kind of back and forth. Anyway, oh, and then Abby, like, one of the people on the hit list, one of the girls at school, she, like, falls in love with. But I forget, like, what divided them. I don't know. I think maybe her dad wanted her killed or something. Or maybe she was a killer herself. I can't remember.
But So I just clicked on Rotten Tomatoes for the reviews, and Charles Johnston from Spectrum Culture says, Bloody Axe Wound is not funny, gory, or weird enough to be the 80s schlock movie it wants to be. And it sounds like you agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's jokes in it that I was like, okay. And then there's some bloody kills in it, but they're not clever, I guess. They're just like, oh, we had a blood pump, so we just went all in on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny as you're talking, just going through it, sounds everybody is saying exactly what you're saying. They say it's just whatever. There's nothing remarkable about it. It kind of just, yeah.
It's weird that, like, this town, like, none of the kids at school want to die, but their deaths get captured on camera, and then, like, people rent them at the local video store. Like, how is that good for business? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, who's renting these?
That's weird.
Yeah, because everyone seems upset that their kids are dying. So I think they'd be even more upset that people could watch those deaths.
Yeah.
$2.99 a weekend. Yeah.
Huh.
It very much felt like, you know, fans of the horror genre, like, really just wanted to get something made.
Yeah.
From hell or high water. So, yeah, it was. Yeah. What's the other thing I watched? Yeah, I watched the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown.
Hmm.
Which, yeah, I really don't know much more about Bob Dylan than I knew before, which is appropriate given the title. yeah, they show his early life, him being a fan of Pete Seeger and what's the other guy? He's bedridden most of the time because he's dying. But anyway, yeah, he just kind of like rises, becomes famous, and then, you know, decides he needs to take his work in a different, his art in a different direction. And yeah, like at one point they show him, like, he meets whatever, what's her name? I should get some friggin' information out. Elle Fanning. I think first wife Sylvie. She's the activist. So I think all of his like activist leanings, like all the songs about the culture at the time probably came through her. So I think that's the best the movie can do at telling you like what his inspiration for his songs are. Because like his song before he meets her is like he has some early songs before he meets, what's his name? God dang it. All right, well, whoever's Scoot McNairy, he's like a famous folk singer. He's bedridden, and basically, like, yeah, Dylan writes a song about him. So songs are just like things that are.
Oh, I think it's Dewey Cox is his name.
Yes, it's totally what it is. So yeah, like he's you know, his early songs aren't very like culturally relevant. Yeah, and then he cheats around on what's her name, Joan Baez. So that's about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds like the picture moved you.
Yeah, I was just like, I thought I'd like know more about, but like I really don't learn. Like, they play a song, it's about like know the names of them as they're going, and like the production design is very evocative of the 60s. And everyone's like performing, like doing great performances, but yeah, I didn't learn much about the person. So, and I don't already know a lot about him, so it's like, yeah, I just feel like I Woody Guthrie, that's who it is, that's that character I was trying to remember. Yeah, I didn't come away with anything new about Bob Dylan that I didn't go in knowing, you know.
Yeah,
so I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but you know, it's made by James Mangold, and I like most of his movies, so it's just like, okay. The only thing I was like, why is, like, they have a Johnny Cash in it? It would have been like so, like, it could have made like this folk singer universe if they had, oh my God, Joaquin Phoenix come back and play him in the movie, but.
It was not to be, Brad. It was not to be.
Yeah. What's his name? I'm just...
Johnny Cash. Brain.
No, the guy who plays him. Boyd Holbrook. Yeah, I mean, it's more like comedic in this movie. Like, he's crashing it. He's drunk and he's crashing into cars and, like, eating bugles. So it's a lot funnier than Walk the Line as a character. But, yeah. Anyway. What'd you watch?
So you were talking about, well, I'll talk about this one in a second. I rewatched Fall Guy, which I think is one of the most underrated movies of the year. It's really fun. The Blu-ray has a 20-minute longer extended cut, but it also re-edits some moments in it. So it creates not a different viewing experience, but I mean, I guess it does. A more unique viewing experience. So I definitely check out both. And the Blu-ray is really cool because it has a whole feature on how they pulled off the stunts in it. That's really cool. And how they did most of it on practically. And so that's always nice to see as well. But the one movie I wanted to talk about, you mentioned it a couple weeks ago. And you went to the C Film Center and you picked up a limited edition slipcover of Hundreds of Beavers.
Yep, I got so lucky.
Yeah, and I think about 3 or 4 days later, they did another pop-up in their little corner there while they're waiting for their Vinegar Syndrome Denver, while they're waiting for their store to be ready to move into. And I went in there, and the lady that runs it is always really nice. And I asked her if she had any more of them, and she said, yep, I have one more.
Oh, you got so lucky.
I did, because they started restocking them this week, and it's all just the standard edition of them.
Yeah.
Which the Blu-ray is still really cool. I mean, I would still pick it up because there's 10 hours of bonus features on it. A lot of it is different cuts of the movie, but it's still pretty cool. But when you were describing this film, your head can't wrap around it, if that makes sense. Because I understand what you're saying to me, but that someone would make a movie like this, I was struggling with. And you almost have to see the movie to understand the brilliance of it. It's pretty much a silent movie besides grunts and there's a song at the beginning. And the whole premise of the movie is this guy had an Applejack business, which is a liqueur made out of apples. And the beavers take it from him, and he becomes kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Destitute.
There we go, destitute. He decides that he's going to hunt beavers, but before he can hunt beavers, he has to kind of build up his hunting credentials and trade in different pelts to
level up.
Yeah, level up. It's like a video game. And so... the movie is wacky, and it's basically a silent film that's a cartoon where all the animals they look like Disney characters you'd see at Walt Disney World, and they don't look menacing at all. They're actually kind of like cute looking.
Like the Bucky's logo.
Yeah, totally the Bucky's logo. But they all have their kind of uniqueness to them. The rabbits are funny because they're always looking and trying to figure out stuff. And it reminded me of a video game sound, almost like Metal Gear Solid, but a little more Mario leaning.
Yeah.
When they're trying to figure stuff out, it goes boom, boom. So the whole movie is him trying to capture things and him failing spectacularly for the most part until he figures out really he has to charge up his, violence towards them, I guess. And the violence is funny too, because you know what comes out of them. I mean, there's blood, but it's mostly stuffing that comes out of the beavers and the other creatures. It's just really creative. It's a film I think everybody should see. My in-laws did not think it was funny, but I get it. But my little boy thought it was hilarious. You know, I don't want to spoil it, but there's a part at the end where he's trying to escape from the beavers, and they
you get where it comes from hundreds of beavers. And my kid could not stop laughing. But, you know, it's even as something as silly as he goes into the beaver fortress. And the beavers are wearing hard hats and construction worker clothes, and it's great. And yeah. You just capture them. I can't explain it, but it's a wonderful movie.
It does take a while to get to the hundreds of beavers. It's so much so that you're like, is there even going to be hundreds of beavers in this movie?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a long time, but when it does happen, it pays off really well.
Yeah, and it's entertaining the whole time while it gets there. So, but you do have this feeling, say, well, I saw beavers at the beginning. Is there actually beavers in this? Because he's just hunting rabbits right now.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to catch fish, and then he goes into the wolves' den. And but it does pay off eventually, and it's really brilliant. So if you have an opportunity, it is on Amazon Prime right now. You definitely should check out Hundreds of Beavers. It will definitely be on my film explosion list, because it was fun. And I always like, I mean, one of the things I love about this podcast is when, you know, you talk to you and you talk about films and you're like, that sounds stupid. But then you go get it and you realize the genius behind it and you love it. And that's where I ended with Hundreds of Beavers.
Nice.
Yeah. Next week is Film Explosion 2024. So
finally.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see how these lists come together, because it's kind of a year where I'm not like in love with a lot of movies.
I agree. I liked a lot of movies, but I don't know if I love them. I'm about halfway through my list of my 150 favorite films of all time, and not one movie from 2024 I think is going to make the list.
Damn.
Yeah, because I just, you know, because last year I had Bottoms on there and Weird Al, but I just don't, I don't know. You know what I mean? There's good movies, but I wasn't moved by any of them. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, totally. I'm in the same boat.
But, you know, it's still fun to see what everybody else picks. So next week we won't see you at, well, we'll still see movies at the movie theater, but we'll be seeing trailers at a theater, at the Bug Theater for our film Explosion. So yeah, see you next week. Bye. A real nerd knows who shot. A real nerd can follow the plot. A real nerd will give it all the guts. Lights, camera, action. Real nerds. Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!